We have an author with us this morning. It is Daniel Levitt. And Daniel, along with Mark Armour, put out a book, and it is absolutely terrific. It's called In Pursuit of Pennants, Baseball Operations from Dead Ball to Money Ball. And this is a good book. It explains what is going on in the front office and especially how they're constructed. And this time of year, very appropriate. So, Daniel, very nice to have you, Dan. How are you?
Good. Glad to be here.
Tell us about the book, how it came about for you and Mark, and I'd love to get a little of the history of it. Then we'll get into some of the content.
Sure. Well, Mark and I have both always been interested in team building, how things came together, why some teams were successful and others weren't. And as we started looking at this and doing research and thinking about it, we realized that there'd never really been a book that looked at the evolution of front offices, that looked at the evolution of how teams made decisions. And part of it is we had a book, and its co-authors come out about 2003, the same time Moneyball came out. And what we realized is that Moneyball was just one of many ways that teams tried to look to get an advantage, that is using statistics, historical statistics, whether it was the invention of the general manager in the 20s or the farm system in the 30s or today with all the high-tech stuff and using StatCast. So we just started to look at how had teams taken advantage of different opportunities throughout the years.
Yeah, interesting. Of course, Dan Levitt is with us, and today, we've got front offices are such a big part of baseball, even bigger, I think, than they used to be because of the analytical departments. But you look back to the early parts of, you mentioned the farm systems, Branch Rickey. You got Ed Barrow with the Yankees putting together the teams of the 20s. Who were the ones in the early years that we should always acknowledge?
Well, I think you just named the key, too. Ed Barrow really defined the position. When he was hired by Yankee owner Jacob Rupert and Tillinghast Houston in 1920, at that time, really, most teams were just run by a manager who made the decisions or the owner, depending on sort of the relationship of power between them. And Barrow really, when he was hired, he took that power structure and he put himself in there. He built a scouting department. He really built the first national scouting department that reported to him. And he basically said to manager Miller Huggins, I'll get you the players, you play them and win. And that's really the model that's held for the last 100 years, which is just starting to change today, which is pretty interesting, as with analytics, the front office becomes much more involved in the game on the field. But Barrow really set the tone for 100 years of baseball in that role. You know, others in there, of course, were Branch Rickey, and then later came guys like Bob Quinn and Joe Brown. But it was really set. The tone was set in the 20s.
What about Brian Sabian and the Giants? Where do they fit into the? I know you do a top 30 in the book of general managers, and Brian Sabian is included. Let's get your thought on Brian Sabian.
Well, we rank Brian Sabian number 13, and you know, a couple of things about Sabian. We give a lot of credit for people who do it for a long time. And people forget that the Giants had good teams in the mid-90s and then again around 2000. Obviously, they were just a game within winning the World Series. And I think that Sabian did it for a long time. The other thing that he did is, as I think, and you're probably closer to this than I am, I think he learned. He took on the analytics when he built these most recent teams, when I say the 10, 12, 14 teams. And so I think that Sabian not only was a great GM, but we give him credit for sort of evolving with the times and learning and, you know, 4 pennants, 3 World Series. I mean, that's tremendous.
The book is In Pursuit of Pennants, Baseball Operations from Dead Ball to Money Ball. Question I've got for you about when you're ranking these general managers. You did your top 30, and you mentioned, like, Brian Sabian's tenure here is certainly something that you give a lot of weight to. You've got other guys on the list who have not won World Series or even won pennants. So is there a formula you use? Do you put a lot of weight into a team being cutting edge or the longevity of a general manager? Is it wins? Is it pennants? What's the formula?
You know, it's a little bit of all of that. It's win, it's pennants, it's coming up with sort of new ways of looking at the world. Obviously, we rank Billy Bean fairly highly, given that he hasn't won. We rank him at 15. But pretty much everybody before him has won multiple World Series. So, you know, when you get sort of the bottom half of the 30, we look at things other than just wins. You know, how many times have you made it to the playoffs? Obviously, once you're there, there's a certain amount of randomness that kicks in. Although we do give credit to World Series. And then also, have you done it more than once? I mean, we ran Gillick number two all time because he's done it four times where he built teams that made it to the postseason and made it all the way to the championship series and won three World Series. So if you do it multiple times, you get credit for that as well.
Well, interesting. Dan Levitt is with us, the book In Pursuit of Pennants, and it's really very timely for today. Dan, today's general manager, they run the organization. They're analytical. They pick the manager. They probably pick the lineup, and they have hands-on everything. When did this come to be that we had such hands-on with the front office?
Well, I think it started evolving in the 80s. I mean, you go back to the 70s, right, and you had a GM and a farm director and a scouting director and, you know, maybe a couple assistants in there, and that was sort of your front office. We just sort of went back. If you look at just sort of changes, there were about defining baseball ops kind of as well as you can. In 2002, there was about 30 people in the Chicago Cubs front office, just for an example. And, you know, that went to about just a little over 60 a couple years ago, the last time we did the count. So it evolved really from the 70s through, you know, through today. It's gone from, you know, 10 to where it's probably upwards of 80 to 90 people in somebody's front office when you start thinking of, you know, neuroscience experts and video analysts and all the stuff going on. So I think it's really evolved over the last 30 years just as new ideas come along and you need people to handle those. And, of course, we've seen now about half the teams have a president of baseball operations and a GM. So you're looking at a lot of these teams where you really can't even run it with just one person anymore.
It's interesting stuff because we're in a new frontier now where the Giants are in a situation here where they don't even have a general manager. They've got a president of baseball ops who's handling everything. Do you take that into consideration when qualifying these things for who's a great general manager?
You know, when we rank it, we try and we were really just picking who we thought was the head of baseball operations, regardless of title. So you go back to the 70s and you got, I mean, we didn't rank him because he was the owner, but really Charlie Finley was building those A's of the 70s. So we were really looking at role more than we were looking at title. So, you know, today it would be Theo Epstein would get credit for what's going on with the Cubs just when we were ranking them. It's too hard to figure out how with the difference between exactly what someone like Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are here in Minnesota, where we have now Derek Falvey and Thad Levine. So when we're ranking, we're really just picking the head of baseball, who we believe is the head of baseball ops.
So let's look at post-World War II to today. Let's look at the timeline. What's changed since then to where we are today?
Well, what's changed is sort of the complexity of the organizations, and what's changed is the technology. But what's interesting is that the good teams have, to a certain degree, always been looking for advantages. If you look at the Dodgers back in the 50s, they were using this bat that somebody invented that where the bat could actually measure how fast it was swinging through the strike zone. Oh. And they were distributed 30 of these throughout their minor league system. So what's interesting to me is that the good teams are always trying to use these new ways to get ahead. I mean, the Dodgers, obviously, in the 50s and 60s were a model organization. It's just that today the stuff actually works better. You know, now when you're trying to measure this stuff, it works. And so teams have just developed these organizations that can take care of all of this stuff. But I think that the idea of looking for stuff has never changed. It's just that now I think teams are much more successful. I think also teams are much more professional about their front office. It's not so much today where a lot of times you had the GM was really a friend of the owner. You know, Mike Higgins working for Tom Yawkey all those years in the 50s and 60s really didn't have a whole lot to go for himself as a general manager, but he had been a longtime friend of Tom Yawkey's. And I think as time has gone by, the whole process has become much more professionalized. You look now, you have people are hiring these sort of corporate search firms to help in their search for Corn Ferry, for example, I think was helpful in bringing Derek Falvey to Minnesota, David Stearns to Milwaukee. And, boy, you would have never seen that 15 years ago. You would have had a general manager, you know, an owner picking someone he knew and liked.
Well, that's what they did, the drinking buddies.
You're right.
That's the way you got the job. Dan Levitt is with us in Pursuit of Pennants. One thought, we'll let you go, and we appreciate you being on. A pleasure to talk to you. Mark Simon says hello, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Mark's a good man.
Sports Info Solutions. If you had to pick one, if you were starting a team today and you had to pick your guy, general manager, who would you pick?
Wow, that's a good question. I'd go with Andrew Friedman.
All right, L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's done it in Tampa without any money. He's done it in L.A. with money, and I think that he can find guys like Mike Muncy that, you know, people forget about, too.
I like the guy in Tampa.
Yeah, no.
Chaim Bloom.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah, and because the Giants don't have a general manager. I mean, they got Farhan here. They got Zach Manassian, director of pro scouting. J.P. Ricciardi, who's sort of an advisor.
Up in Toronto.
Kyle Haynes is the farm director. But, you know, that's about it because everyone else is sort of in the background. So he's really running the show here, president of baseball operations and general manager and everything else. So this trading deadline for the Giants is going to be interesting.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting that there's a couple of teams. Boston's one, obviously San Francisco, Miami, where you have a president of baseball ops without a GM. And it'll be interesting to see how that model works and whether, you know, you guys go out and hire a GM.
Well, they say he will, but that's an interesting point, whether you need a GM. Maybe you just create another level of the corporate ladder.
Well, I think that's part of what he's talking about, is that there are so many situations now where you've got both of them, and there are some now where you've just got the president. But even when they're ranking these general managers, they say who's really in charge, who's calling the shots about the philosophy of baseball operations, I think, is where we're going.
Boy, that's changed. Boy, great to have you on, Dan. This is a good discussion. Appreciate having you. Where do you get the book?
You know, I think it's still available in a few bookstores and obviously any of the online sites, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon. It's online is the best place to get it, I think, today.
All right, very good. And we have our independent bookstores here in the Bay Area.
Absolutely.
We support the Book Tree up in Montclair. David, of course, will have the book up there. Thanks for coming on. Very enlightening. And we'll see. I like your list of the 30 top general managers and Branch Rickey right up there and Ed Barrow. Theo Epstein and even Brian Sabian on the list, ahead of Billy Bean and Sandy Alderson. I like that. So, Dan, good job. Very good.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
All right. That is Dan Levin. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.